Hello, my name is Rob Ray, and I'm a financial advisor from the Wealth Consulting Group here at UBS Financial Services, located in Farmington Hills, Michigan. I can be reached via email at robert.ray, R-A-Y, at ubs.com, and welcome to the 10 Spot, an approachable, unassuming podcast that explains various wealth management concepts in about 10 minutes. In this episode, we're going to be discussing donor-advised funds. This is a part of financial planning, philanthropic planning, charitable planning that is personally one of my favorites. It's a very creative space that allows clients to do good and especially do good while they're still around to see the benefits. Most people think donating to charity or philanthropy is something that you put in your will and it's at the end, right? You've passed and some money goes to a charity. But how sad that you didn't get a chance to have a hand in building whatever that might be applied to or to see the fruit that came from that donation. Donor-advised funds are one of many arrows in the philanthropic quiver to use for affecting your charitable inclinations. Now, donor-advised funds can provide you with a cost-effective and flexible way to donate to your favorite charities and help you address any philanthropic goals you might have in mind, including creating a lasting legacy that you can involve your family members in. So what is a donor-advised fund? Think of it like a charity checkbook. It is a charitable investment account controlled and maintained by a sponsoring charitable organization into which you make contributions at any time. Since the sponsoring organization is a charitable institution, a 501c3, you receive an immediate tax deduction for your contributions. You can donate stock or cash, and as I mentioned, it's invested, so you can take those proceeds and invest it in a diversified portfolio of underlying securities. One thing to keep in mind, those contributions, those what you put into the donor advised fund are irrevocable. So once you give it to the institution or once it goes to your account, your donor advised fund, you can't get it back. Okay, so let's say you've opened a donor advised fund with a sponsoring institution. You've donated something to fund the account, hopefully highly appreciated security. That's a little tax planning aspect that we can talk about later in the podcast. And now you want to get money out. You want to make a donation to your favorite charity. Well, you recommend to the donor advised fund that you'd like to make a contribution to this organization. The donor advised fund then checks out the institution, verifies that it's a qualifying 501c3, and then makes a grant from your donor advised fund. So having this separate donor advised fund is kind of, that's why I call it a charity checkbook. You've got an account that you can make donations or requests from directly to institutions rather than writing out a check each time you want to make a contribution or a donation to a charity. Why have a donor advised fund, you might ask? First, it's easy to create and use. A donor advised fund is a simple alternative or complement to creating something much more complicated, which would be something like a private foundation. You simply select the sponsoring organization you wish to work with, open and fund your donor advised fund, and the sponsoring organization of the donor advised fund takes care of the rest. You can access it 24/7. Most donor advice funds have an online portal. So you can log in, you can check your donor advice fund account balance, you can download statements, create a list of your favorite charities. Circling back to that whole involving the family, this is a great feature of a donor advice fund. And recommend grants or research thousands of charities online. Another neat feature is that you can determine how you'd like to be recognized when requesting the grant. You can name your donor advised fund after your family. So it could be like the Ray Family Donor Advised Fund. A company in memory of someone for a specific cause, what have you. In addition, you can determine grant by grant whether you want the recognition for the gift or would prefer to remain anonymous. Okay, a little bit of a tax aspect here. You know, you get an income tax deduction. You, as the donor, will generally receive the maximum allowable tax deduction on your contributions for the tax year in which they're donated to the donor advised fund. Usually ranging 60% of your AGI for cash donations, up to 30% for donations of appreciated securities, with the ability to carry forward any excess tax deduction for up to 5 years. As an advisor at UBS, we do not provide tax or legal advice. Consult your tax advisor, but there's a lot of tax incentive. This is why donating to a donor advised fund can be a popular tax planning strategy at the end of the year if we're looking to take a big deduction. As I referenced before, you can choose to donate highly appreciated securities instead of cash and avoid the capital gains, right? That gains tax goes to charities. So let's say you had a stock that was worth $10 a share and you bought it for only $1 a share. There's $9 of gains. If you sell it, you're going to pay taxes on the $9 gains, right? Well, you can donate those shares to your donor advised fund. You get the deduction for the $10 a share. You don't pay taxes on the $9 of appreciation. And because you reallocate in the donor advised fund from your stock to a diversified portfolio of ETFs, you don't pay any taxes on that reallocation either. So this is great, great tax planning potential here. Another is if you're donating the stock or the cash or what have you into the donor advised fund, you get to donate now, get the deduction now, but decide later, right? You're not having to you're making the donation or the contribution to the donor advised fund now in this calendar year for the deduction, but you don't have to decide right then what charities or what grants you might request from. So it's, again, charity checkbook is a chance to pre-fund future donations that you know you'll likely be making, but you don't need to decide who and how much right now. And there's a whole bunch of other neat, what I think are cool features of donor advised funds. But aside from the cost efficiency, the flexibility, all that sort of stuff, one of my favorite features is the ability to connect it with your family. You can name heirs as successor advisors to the donor advised funds to allow for future generations to recommend grants. So, you know, imagine having a Ray Family Foundation donor advice fund, right? And not only can I make gifts or request grants to the charities that I care about, but I can directly involve my kids in involving charities that they're interested in, that they want to support, and make grants to them so they can be involved in the process, and then they can be named as successor advisors to the Rafe and carry on that philanthropic commitment for generations to come. I think that is just awesome, awesome planning stuff right there. With that, I hope you have a little bit of perspective on donor advised funds. Maybe you're charitably or philanthropically inclined. Maybe you make regular donations, or maybe you're thinking outside the box, which is what I love clients doing, is just having a big picture and then us having the opportunity to explore all the different paths to make that happen. Hopefully you've found the past 10 plus minutes insightful, and I've been able to answer maybe a few questions that you had about donor advised funds. Maybe you hadn't even heard of them before. In either case, I always, always appreciate you including the 10 spot in your playlist and sharing what you've learned with others. Please email me with any follow-up questions, suggestions, or topic requests for future episodes at robert.ray, R-A-Y, at ubs.com. Thank you for listening and have an awesome day. Now time for that post-podcast disclaimer. This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review the client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.